This is KQ4WHN, Mark, from the base.
Turn the radio down the background here, Mark. Good morning. Barely, 11:56. Oh, it's a gloomy old cool day, 52 degrees I got here. We're just headed past the tiny houses after crossing Lake Cunningham on Highway 101 and going down to get some mass consumables down at Aldi's.
Here with both waypoints there, so make sure you you stay dry and all this stuff, because it just keeps getting darker and wetter as the day goes on.
We will follow the waypoints, and it's IFR conditions, so we'll approach the runway under IFR.
Have that GPS antenna plugged in as well. You're going to need that for accurate navigation.
I'd say back in the old days we'd use Loran over the Pacific, but I was trying to think of the other one here. Well, we don't have inertial nav. There's one other approach down there at the downtown airport that they always call out, and I can't remember what it was now. What Moran? That's old. But at any rate, we'll make it. The ceiling out here now looks like about, maybe 2,000 feet or so. So there's some visibility. We're getting a pretty constant light rain now down here. But, I wouldn't be wanting to bring in a plane right now in this, but down our GSP are like 250 feet, so that's pretty good.
I've always been amazed at how pilots can get that plane right down to the ground and not see anything until the lines just pop out of the cloud with feet to spare. But I think the other navigation that they use at airports is called RNAV, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know a great deal about that one. But I have more than once been aboard a plane watching the, making sure the pilots are doing their job properly and they go through and somehow they manage to get us there without having seen hide nor hair of the earth most of the trip, which is always interesting. And I don't know that I would have that level of trust in any technology.
It takes guts. Well, you're exactly correct, RNAV. I just couldn't spit it out. I'm getting old. On the carrier, when I flew off the carrier, we used TACAN. That was the military version of, I presume Omni, where you fly a radio in, you know.
Only seen flight operations on a carrier from a distance and usually more on a video than anything else, but it is impressive how they managed to land on a moving airport with it pitching to and fro, and I'm glad that was never anything that was part of my career. I'm happy to watch it from a distance.
Just, there was four of us on the carrier plane I was on, and I had a lever beside of me, and it was like the seatbelts in your car do now, only I controlled it, and I would throw it back, and as we landed, I'd lean out and watch the approach through the front windshield of the aircraft, you know. And just before we touched down, I'd flip that lever back and sit back so that I wouldn't splatter all over my instrument panel. But it was a hoot. And the landings, I think, are much more dangerous than the takeoffs. You're pretty well assured you're not going to get a cold shot going off the front end. But coming back, especially in the fog or something, we had 200 feet and a half a mile, and you had to wave off. And that's back in the 60s. But we come in down here at GSP one time in a thunderstorm in a commercial aircraft not too many years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And I asked the pilot and the co-pilot, I said, what's your minimums down here? And he said, 250 feet. And I said, tonight was pretty bad. That was a gutsy landing. You did a fine job. I said, where'd you break out at? And he says, 250 feet.
That might be subject to some error here and there, but and of course, we know it's not mean sea level, because that's where are you, 1,000 feet up here in Greenville. But I had one experience going in, I think, Milwaukee, and there was not sight of the earth at any point during the entire flight. Once we took off from Atlanta, we never saw the ground again, and I kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and it was suddenly, oh, runway, bang, and we landed. So somehow I doubt that was a little less than 250 there in Milwaukee, but they managed to get it done. And
yeah, Mark, with the fact that you're running 130 miles an hour, roughly, for most of them, to 140, 250 feet doesn't take very long to get.
Yeah, I forget what the sink rate is when they're coming in to land, but I bet it's faster than I don't want to jump.
Usually, if you watch FlightAware, they'll get down to about 200, 250 in about 1,200 feet, and then they come on down. I can't remember what the sink rate is because I'm not a pilot, but every time our kids travel, I track them on FlightAware. And you can get a graph and watch them as they come down. And it's pretty impressive at first, just like 2,500 feet a minute or so. And then when they get down, normally GSP brings them in at 4,000 feet, and they'll tell them to reduce speed down in the 200s.
There with FlightAware, use it to keep track of my flights for work, and my wife just went to Thailand, which was nerve-wracking because I had never been that far myself. I've been all over the country in Canada, but never been across the Pacific, and she was her first international flight, and it was a work trip, but she made it, and I tracked her every moment of the way with FlightAware.
Matthew is a captain on the 787, and he flies over in that region all the time. Out of Dallas, he goes to the places like Hong Kong and Japan and the South Pacific, all out in there. And once in a while, he'll send me a picture of the... he sent me one, it's been a year or two ago, and he was approaching South Korea. And it showed all the waypoints, which are a lot of them as you approach that airport. But he says, this part up here in this corner, Tom, you want to stay out of. And I said, what's that? He says, that's North Korea. They have such a great radar on those things now, and an all-glass cockpit. It's just very interesting to me because I used to run all of that stuff, and radar, electronic countermeasures, magnetic anomaly detection, acoustical warfare, and things like that. So it's fascinating to me. I still love airplanes.
I want to be. I was ROTC in high school and part of the way through college, and Reagan managed to defeat the Russians and ruin my career path, so I got into IT. But kind of the same thing. I like to watch them. I like to learn about them. Never was a fan of flying, but I kind of helped the pilot from row 33, so I know everything that's going on and understand why they're putting the flaps up and down and getting the spoilers up and just all the noises that planes make and all the motions that they do. It's a control thing that I had to adapt with and got used to. But have a buddy that is a captain retired of the U.S. Navy, and he was aboard the Enterprise for a little bit and was in the Enterprise carrier group. And his favorite assignment was Key West, Florida, which he had to go down there repeatedly from Virginia to check on the monitoring and communication stations down that way, and in the afternoon they might go check out the bars.
radio there. I might have went off for a second. Okay. Anyways, I was talking to this guy down there in Puerto Rico. And I know what he was doing, the same things your buddy was probably doing in a SOSA station, if you ever heard of that. The sound on underwater system that stretches out into the ocean all around our land, shall we say. And I knew he was a spook, but he would never ever tell me. And I talked to another one on the Dew Line back when they had the Dew Line up in Canada. And he was, I think, 37 miles from the North Pole. He also would not tell me what he was doing.
Of those guys, because they're all over the place. And familiar with SOSIS because I'm a Tom Clancy fan, and he obviously describes that pretty distinctly in a lot of his books about naval warfare. But learned a little bit about that, and had some opportunity in my career to talk to and train military folks on some IT topics. And my absolute favorite was going to the Space Warfare Center in San Diego and meeting a bunch of folks in Navy uniforms who were happy to introduce themselves, and a bunch of guys in city clothes that strangely all had the name Bob.
Spell that forward or backwards, either way. Well, what did you do? What was your occupation then, Mark, if you can tell me?
Yeah, nothing secret about it. It's I always tell people, if you know, you go out and you buy a car, you got somebody that comes out and teaches you how to pair your phone and turn on the windshield wipers and set and adjust the seats. So we do that. The company that I work for does that on behalf of folks that spend a lot of money with Microsoft. So we teach them how to turn on the security controls and set up the collaboration tools and just kind of walk them through the setup and the proper use of all the money they just spent.
Yeah, I remember you saying that now. I'm getting old and I forget. Well, I've replaced you with Bitdefender. That's supposed to be good. And that's what I have on my computer, although Dave Watson told me one time that Microsoft had a good system just on its own.
Yeah, what they put in the operating system for free these days is exactly the same stuff that they sell when they get a bunch of money out of people. The only difference is whether it's managed or whether it runs on its own. But they take security a little more seriously these days.
Yeah, I used to have Kaspersky, and I loved it. And they forbid it now because it was associated with the Russians. My favorite Russians are the ones on Morse code. Other than that, it was my job to kill Russian submarines. So I really, and you mentioned SOSIS. I couldn't say that word back then. And I had a secret clearance, and some of the gear on a lot of the gear on the P-3 Orion was, and on the S-2 that I flew on was secret. Couldn't say the word Jezebel. And now they had it on the hunt for Red October. Guys, they'd have put us in Fort Leavenworth if we had mentioned stuff like that back then, Mark.
Timing. You can't go to jail if it's part of public culture now. But I was about to ask you if you were aboard P-3s or if you had any other... when you start talking about the mad gear and going around doing sub hunting and whatnot, the P-3 is always the platform I think of, but I guess it's all P-8 Poseidon these days.
Yeah, when KF4DOS was talking about that the other day, we'd like to go aboard one of those. I saw one parked out here down by FedEx a few weeks ago. And it had a real peculiar antenna on top of it that I'd never seen before. But it was parked way out. Because I think, from what I've seen in pictures, those guys go down to Mutt's and eat when they're in here. And I've talked to different ones about it. But you and I can go get close to one of those, I don't think. Although I did see them filming in one on TV the other day. Yeah, the S-2 was the predecessor to the S-3, and it was anti-submarine warfare. And I ran on Z3, I ran radar, electronic countermeasures, magnetic anomaly detection, which is MAD gear, and sniffer, which you probably never heard of and they don't use anymore. To Z4, I ran Julie and Jezebel, and they don't use Julie anymore. I think that's probably because it probably started a war. But I ran those two devices in Z4. And then on the P3, I primarily ran Julie ECM or radar. I loved to run radar. That was my favorite. But they had a real good Jezebel guy on there, so I never did set at that. It was the same as on the S2, only it was much larger. Ours on the S2 was an AQA-4, and on the P3 it was an AQA-5. But I was never on an EP3. I would have liked to have seen in one of those two. They're far more sophisticated. I was on the A's and B's, and then they come out with the C's, and now they got the P8s.
Is the Viking, I think. I haven't thought about that plane in forever. But talking about the P8s being at the airport, they do routine touch-and-goes at the Greenville Airport, and I'm not sure where they're actually based or if there's more than one air group that comes up here to do touch-and-goes, because we don't have the volume of air traffic that they can do that, but I will routinely see them maybe once every 2 weeks just coming around, doing their touch-and-go, and then they'll do 4, 5, 6 in a row and then disappear. I guess sometimes they stop and get lunch, too.
I remember seeing a picture of a P3 crew out there at Mutt's on the wall, and I think they probably give them their lunch. But, that's very true. I listen to them on my radio here quite often. Now, I think they come from Charleston, I'm pretty sure. And I've seen RA-5Cs from the Air Force, and I've seen the Air Force, ones like Jim used to fly, the tankers. I worked at Learjet for a little while getting out of high school, and they were building B-52s and B-47s as fast as you could shell them out when I was a kid out there, and I'd go out there and visit my aunt and uncle. I believe they come up here from Charleston, and they got such a great IFR system, and they got 11,000 foot runways, so that's good for training people. This is NZOTR.
WHN on this side. Yeah, it's my favorite is when the fighters come up from Beaufort, the Marines. Go up and do touch and goes, and it sounds like somebody's unzipping the sky, which is, that's when I know it's time for me to go in the opposite direction, because it's going to get really loud. But do see the P-8s coming in, and every once in a while you'll see some C-17s or something Air Force related that might wander by and need to do a little training on the weekend. So it's fun to be in a military part of the world.
Did you see where they just arrested a guy that was, he was a top fighter pilot and an instructor fighter pilot in the A-10s, the F-16s, the F-35-2s, I think it is, and he went over to China for 2 years and were teaching, maybe he was a Navy guy, I thought Air Force. But they mentioned carrier landings, but he was teaching American tactics to the Chinese for 2 years over there. And he had spent 23 years, I think it was, in the Air Force here. They ought to try him for treason.
I'm back, and he wasn't immediately scooped up and put in some dark hole. That's wild.
NZOTR. Yeah, I bounce around from different news media, you know, Fox News, Yahoo News, anything. Just it seemed like Yahoo News, which is they're all biased, and it's more Democratic. But Fox News used to be more Republican, which I'm concerned about that. I like the stories about the military aircrafts and stuff like that, and Yahoo has that a lot on the military part, Yahoo.com. And so I enjoy reading those, but I believe that one was on Fox News on my computer, and I just scroll down, and most of that crap, like, that pedophile they're investigating now, I don't care about reading that stuff. I want to read about the military and something that's important. You get sick of the news at times, Mark, but it's shame that we got people that do that, and I remember when they caught that guy and his son that was spying on the United States, and he was in the satellite division of the Navy, and he had been selling stuff. The Walker family, look that up sometime, and that's an incredible story of how long they got away with that. His name was Walker, and I think he was a warrant officer. Might have been a master chief or something, but he held some rate or rank, if you want to call it. But people that do things like that it's just inexcusable. So many guys died for our country, and then you got guys like that selling it. Anyways, Mark, really great talking to you. I got to go in. Bernice has been in. She told me to have fun here, and I've had fun with you. The pleasure's all mine, and hope to catch you again. I'm just sitting out here in the car in the rain at Aldi's. 73's Mark, KQ4WHN, in 0GR, 73's.
Appreciate you giving me an education on some of your past doings. It's always fun to hear the real-world experience. I didn't have that opportunity, but enjoy the view so, and look forward to talking to you again. This is KQ4WHN. Thanks, sir.
Yeah, look up the S2 tracker. I flew in the D's and E's, and they were twin-engine recips, 1825, 1,550 horse, 765 gallons of 115, 145 av gas. And they preceded the S3. But they had a lot of electronics on them. They really did, and were very capable. The submarines were really not very safe out there if we was over the top of them. Look at their armaments. It'll impress you. We could even carry a Mark 101 nuclear depth charge. You can look that one up, too. I don't exaggerate, or I just don't lie about things like that. So you look it up, and it's there. You can Google anything in this world nowadays, Mark. Talk to you later. I'm out of here. This is N0TR.
An S2 tracker on my screen right now, and I'm about to deep dive into all the things that are available for that aircraft. Thanks for the update, sir. I appreciate it. This is KQ4WHN. I'll be clear.